5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, guys, just recorded the Brilliantly Dumb Show. Banger. Nice long episode. Depending on the amount of cuts that we had, there's a lot of cuts, a lot of wild things were said, left some of it in. But before anything, we're going to give you 5 seconds. It's been working. We want to keep it going. Thank you guys so much for the people who have done it. Just for the people listening, if you have not liked and subscribed, please take the time to do so. Five's in the sky, boy. We're going to give the faithful here 5 seconds to smash that subscribe button. 5, 4, 3. Thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate you. Enjoy this new episode of The Brilliantly Dumb Show. We are back at it for more. Good to be back Monday morning, so we know who's going to the Super Bowl. With, you know, that is with the D-Man with the Q-Zip on. UFC night went to, which was a lot of fun. So a lot of
good. That was a good card, man. What a card you guys caught. What a great fucking every fight. Really, I mean, the co-main event, O'Malley, that was a good fight. The main event was fucking, that was incredible, Gaethje, bro. What a gutsy fucking performance from Gaethje.
To be honest, with the O'Malley one, Joe, maybe we just saw it differently. I think to us, it almost looked not like a great fight. And also, we wondered if he did win. But, like, everybody said that was watching it, that it was clear cut that he won the fight, which I think was a little surprising to us. Yeah.
O'Malley?
Yeah.
From our standpoint, just didn't look like, you know, it looked really close.
Very similar to, I forget what other fight it was before that, where everything felt like it was going to roll on that third round. In his third, the last round he did so well, it carried over for the first two. I wish that was a 5-round fight. That would have been really great if that was a 5-round fight, but I thought the third round again, and there was a fight before it where the third round defined the fight. I forget which one it was.
Umar, or even that Silva, they say was a hose job.
Silva,
as well.
Silva. If it wasn't for that last round, that's Silva.
Oh, Silva Rose. I had Rose.
That was bad, man.
People were booing when they announced
that. That was bad. That was bad.
Yeah, they were booing pretty hard. But what a first. For Paramount, I mean, what first card for Paramount?
You know what? And I said, Bob, I put it out there. I said, for Paramount Plus, I said, they nailed it. A+ out of Paramount Plus. And when I say that, people were coming at me. They were like, well, what about all the commercials that were on it? And what about, I'm going, not about the commercials and the fact that they didn't lose. And I'm watching it on the streaming service. The fact that it didn't for once go into the territory of like Netflix with the Tyson Paul, with the buffering issues, and the like they couldn't handle the amount of viewers that was there. Was seamless. There wasn't one single interruption with service. It didn't go out once. It didn't buffer once. It was clear as crystal the whole time. So I thought they did a great job. That's the main thing.
Yeah. One of the things too, people are complaining about the ads. And again, I didn't see it. They did ads during the fighter walkouts. That's something I understand that maybe needs to change, but with the ads, they've got it to a point now where all you have to do is just pay the Paramount price and you're in for the whatever it is a year compared to paying the pay-per-view. So Dana said it back in the press conference. He's like, they need to make money too. So you're going to have ads. Like, it's the way it's going to be. You're going to have ads.
I didn't notice the ads during the walkouts. Maybe that is like a different level of your Paramount subscription. I noticed the ads in fight in between round breaks. They would do like the little box of the corner men.
I don't mind that.
And then, but it's like, it's not a full commercial break because you're still watching
like golf.
The corner men. Yeah, you could still see the corner men talking to the fighter. So it's like, again, bro, like really, like, I don't know. You're not paying $80 to watch it. You know
How
what I mean?
Was
and
it?
I, well, it was, it's just, nothing. It's the Paramount subscription.
Yeah,
it's a subscription, which I have anyway.
Mikey, so Joe kept asking me about, Joe really wanted to go to this card and Jet too, which is unlike the Jet. So this sets you up for the White House card. This puts Mikey in a really good position.
Yo, listen, that White House card, bro, like if it's going to top this, like I thought this card was unbelievable, bro.
They had three fights canceled. They had the Nunes fight, who could have been the biggest. And then there was a guy who fainted. And then that Johnson Perez fight, apparently there was like information that the guy was hurt and there was like a whale who bet on it and they canceled it. Did you hear that?
No.
Did you see the Michael Bisping clip? It's one of the, now that you know the fighter's okay, you can appreciate how incredible that clip is of Michael Bisping. He's talking about how he has no sympathy for fighters who don't cut weight. He's like, this is your job, who don't make weight. He's like, this is your job. Yeah. You got to make weight. You got to do what you got to do. As he's saying that behind him, you see this guy completely drop after
getting off. Yeah, it was awful.
Which was horrifying at the time. Now that you know he's okay, like the timing of it is is crazy.
What you got out of that main event alone was worth, I mean, that was, when you get an underdog like that, and you got, by the way, Paddy Pimblett is one of the toughest guys. I cannot believe he didn't get knocked. This guy was fucking, he got the piss beat out of him, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I don't know, like, you guys were there, you were probably looking at the screen to see his face, but they kept zooming in on his face was fucking mangled. He got mangled by Gaethje.
It was funny,
and he just
too.
Kept coming. Unbelievable fight, bro. Unbelievable
fight. In the press conference, Gaethje talked about that before the fight, he said that his face was going to be the same and he was going to mess up Gaethje's face. And Gaethje was like, well, how does that look now, motherfucker? And he was like laughing about it. Yeah.
But Gaethje certified.
From the minute I said to Bob, you know, we took Gaethje to win because A, he's our guy, but
that's
also
the play to make if you're live there in person. That's the play.
And the value too was there. And also too, going into it, he said, this is the last chapter for me. So I said to Bob, I said, he's probably going to go out there, guns blazing, nothing to lose, and he's just going to go for it. And then it was almost scary to the point when it got to the fifth round, he was winning and he kept going back for more. I was like, please don't get knocked out. And Pimblett kept coming back for more. And there was a couple times I was like, Bob, I don't know how this guy's not knocked out yet.
It was incredible. It was incredible. And I got to tell you, I didn't realize how big Paddy Pimblett is. He looked like a fucking tank, bro. I really always thought of him as like the skinny kind of wiry guy. He's built up, bro. He's built. So very impressive. But like Gaethje said, he's a young guy. He's got, Pimblett's going to be a nasty, nasty fight. He's better off for this anyway. I think it'll work out for him.
What I like about Paddy, he's one of us where after his fights, he goes on a food binge. Like he'll put on 30, 40 pounds in a few weeks. It's unbelievable the way this guy will eat. He's one of us. And then he just completely transforms his body when it comes time.
We're the mental fat mafia. We are the mentally fat mafia. I was saying it to my sister-in-law the other day. We were eating out at dinner and I was like, we were eating this dessert. And I was like, there's not even a thought in my mind that's like telling me like you should stop. That's when you know you're fat. Like when you open a pint of ice cream now, Bob, when I open a pint of ice cream, the thought of not finishing that pint of ice cream never even crosses my mind for a split millisecond. Like I never even think about, I'm not going to finish this whole thing. It's never even a thought. It's so mentally bad.
You should have seen us in the lounge. Bob kept going back and he has this move now where he'll grab a cookie, he takes like two bites and then tosses it. Or he'll go and he'll grab something like a cake or something. He looks around to see if anybody's looking. He takes a bite and then just chucks it. Dude, or his new move is he's like, Joe, you want to split a cookie with me? I'm like, bro, I'm not going to, what am I, five? Like, split a cookie.
Well, he wants to try all of it. He wants a little bit of it all, you know?
Yeah.
I've been watching these mukbang videos. I didn't even know what mukbang was. I sent him one and Bob's like, yeah, these mukbangs. I was like, what the fuck? So I looked it up. And now that's all I'm getting fed on Instagram is just extremely fat people just eating.
Crazy. You like the mukbang with a twist. You like there's a lot of mukbangers that aren't me. You like the like obese mukbangers.
Yes. Yeah.
Wait,
that's
your
shit. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's his thing now.
I saw this guy, Joe. I've been watching this guy now, Joe. This guy, he's like, I'm gonna make cereal today, my favorite cereal. And he takes two full containers of Chips Ahoy cookies.
Oh, that's mood.
Mood. You guys. Mood. mood. Mood.
Have some cereal mood.
Cereal mood. Yeah, that guy, bro. I have never. That guy ate two boxes of Crumble cookies. Two boxes of Crumble cookies. Those buddy, big you gotta fucking watch him cookies.
Go into like Buffalo Wild Wings or like something.
That orders that's brutal. Yeah, like that's
five.
Brutal.
I saw him go into the Olive Garden and he ordered four entrees with four chicken gnocchi soups. Four chicken gnocchi soups he got on the side. The waiter's like, "You want a salad?" He's like, "No, just another chicken gnocchi soup on the side." Mood, you guys. Mood.
That's yo. He's good. Bad,
bro. This guy, and then there's this guy who comments on every single one of his videos and breaks down the macros, which I find fascinating. He gives the fat, the carbs, the protein, the calories. It's unfucking the sugars. It's unreal. It's unreal.
But I don't know if when that guy's
it's like watching
that,
a train wreck. Can't stop.
I don't
watching.
Know if he's eating all of it because you.
I don't know either, Joe. I don't know either. But I have seen him eat enough to where it's It's disturbing.
Have you seen the pizza disturbing. Order that he did? What he called was it Papa John's? He ordered like four large pie. Pizzas. He ordered like cheesy bread. He ordered like 20 wings. He ordered the cinnamon. Dude, it's insane.
Some of them do that for like some clickbait, but like I've seen guys that do that and they order a ton and then somehow they eat it all. I don't know if they shove some of it away and cut it, but you know, that is, bro, that's all Mikey sends me now. It's just like these huge guys just mukbanging. It's
the only thing that makes me feel better about myself, honestly. Like Monday through Friday, I'm fine. But on the weekend, it's like my brain just doesn't shut off. All it thinks about is what can I eat next? It's so fucked up.
I went toe-to-toe with a pint last night. My road caught me. There was no silverware. So I'm watching the news because I just didn't have the ability to just get the remote and just change it. And you know those. Oh, so
this had to be late night. This had to be post championship Sunday games.
Yeah. But mind you, Pacific time.
Time. Yeah. So you're talking not that late, 7, 8 o'clock.
Yeah. 7 o'clock.
I went to the game ended and I was at Rayo's and then
That's wild.
Yeah.
You did a pint of ice cream post Rayo's dinner?
Yeah.
This guy doesn't care. This guy goes to a pizza place for an appetizer before he goes to the actual restaurant he's going to eat lunch at. Like, he doesn't care. He doesn't.
You know what?
This is the mental fat mafia. I'm telling you.
Just mentally fat. I am also physically fat.
But you're not obese, though, Joe. You know what I'm talking about? We're mentally fat.
I've lost, 25 pounds. I was, at my worst, I was 260. And right now, I'm like, 235, 237 after this fight, probably closer to 240. And we went to the golf PGA golf show, and FP has lost almost 100 pounds. Yeah. Like, imagine like a balloon that you popped. He's just like deflated. It's unbelievable. But I've also lost weight and sitting next to him. People call me Joey Fat Cuts.
That's fucked up, man. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I'm actually down myself, but it is.
Now you got to keep up with the Joneses. You got to keep up with the Joneses.
I do need to be back in good shape because I'm not in good shape. I do need to lose like another 30 pounds.
You know, when you were at your worst and you have definitely, I've been telling you that I really think you've lost weight. Cutsy used to have the barrel where he would take his phone and he would
use it as a stand.
He did it all the time. Yeah. He'd be sitting down and
it is just convenient.
Oh yeah, he would just be like
it's this. Like having a little pouch there, Michael.
It's like having like a permanent dinner tray, like a TV tray.
Yeah, and Luca has when he's using his when
moon you guys moon you guys.
Today we have some cereal mood.
You got to look this guy up, man. I forget his actual handle, but people.
Jay Madison or Jay Morrison or Jay something.
James I don't think it's James Madison.
No, not James. Maybe not. It's Jay. I think it's.
Don't disrespect the forefathers like that, Joe. Bob, was that pint a B&J pint by any chance? Is that a Ben and Jerry's?
The pint you were doing? No, it's place Salt and Straw in L.A. Oh, it's okay.
So it was like a home. It was like a homemade pint, not like a ShopRite bought pint of ice cream.
You ever?
Oh, it's James Bola.
Yeah, please check. Oh, look at that, bro. Mood. Come on.
When I got to when I dove into that pint because I haven't like gone.
What flavor?
Did an In and Out Hall mood. I gotta watch that one.
What flavor were you talking, Bob?
It was like a salted caramel and then like a chocolate ooey gooey. It was called like
wait in the same thing.
They double them down. They do a
side. Oh my! Bob, you should just start going. boob, you guys.
There was a second pint too of another one just to have another one, but I think combined I did a full Fair. One. Yeah. But when I looked at this pint, I was thinking about Ticket, because Ticket puts down Ticket's putting down a pint a night.
Yeah, I can't. That is, I can't.
That's a lot of really... dairy in that boy.
But I will say, if I'm opening a pint of ice cream, there is no scenario, none, where that pint doesn't go. The whole thing. There's just. Like, what am I doing, Joe? I'm going to save half of it for what reason? To eat it an hour later?
Has that been something you notice? Like, what do your shits look like in the morning? Like, is that just a pretty brutal, like, more of a wet base type thing? Or, like, it can't be a firm shit.
No, it's on the softer side for sure. Really? The dairy. I mean, yeah, the dairy, I feel like, well, you know, I mean, I ate half a pint last night only because the first half, my wife ate the first half and left it in the freezer. It's been in the freezer for probably four weeks. Tonight, though, Ben and Jerry's, yeah. I ate half of it. I was so angry when I finished it because I didn't have the other half. Like, was that's when you know.
Good? Did it still hold up after that long?
Bro, it is. Ben and Jerry's is so good.
Little freezer burn on that.
We didn't get it. We didn't get the burn on it, which was good.
That's really good.
No burn.
No burn.
Dude, yeah. You know the next generation is fucked. Like, you know, think about what we're, because it got to me. I mean, I am cooked. You know, think about my kid. Without cooked, I am. You know,
you ever think about, like, now that I have Luke, you ever think about like Dom and G Baby and like what they gotta have to go through with this next wave?
Yeah.
It's kind of concerning.
Yeah, I was so mad the other day about something with this generation, bro. Like, I just. You know, I went to a stand-up show on Friday, and I haven't been to a stand-up comedy show in, I couldn't tell you the last time I went to go see a stand-up comedian. My wife got me Shane Gillis tickets.
You saw Santino.
For Christmas. No, he wasn't there. He opened the night before.
What?
So the openers for me were Dan Soder, who I think is fucking hysterical. Louis C.K., who's a legend.
Is he back now? He's unbanned?
He was the guy right before Gillis went on. He was Louis C.K. The dude from Saturday Night Live, Michael something, black dude. He was great. He was awesome. So funny. and then Dave Attell, another like comedic legend. But I'm just sitting there and I'm listening to the jokes and I'm just like, it's so refreshing when you can attack every single group and person and nobody. And the group is eclectic that was there. You know, you have all types of people in the audience and they're attacking. I mean, they're going after everybody. Nobody was safe. Republican, Democrat, white, black. Everybody was catching it from all angles. And I just like it feels like everything is so hypersensitive. It's like,
yeah,
it's refreshing to go to something like that. And you're getting ripped on, like white people were getting fucking ripped on just as bad as anybody else. The comedian from SNL was ripping. I mean, he was going in on some things that I won't even talk about, but that's what I'm saying. Like this next generation come up, like how much are we going to censor shit? We're dumbing shit down so much already. It's like, it's just, there's no entertainment like that anymore. It was refreshing to see.
I regret to this day, Bob, that I didn't go to the Gillis concert with you guys in Dallas. Remember? Or in Austin.
Oh, so you saw him live, Gillis, already, Bob?
At Joe Rogan's thing with Young Jamie.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, Gillis is fucking hysterical, man. The only thing I will
say, Jamie took us to the green room, like in the back, which was cool, but like, you just kind of feel like you're invading. Like, that's, like, their thing, like, the green room, you know? And you're just, like, sitting there like a groupie. Like, you don't know. It's kind of hip. But he came back, and he was really nice. But
is Louis C.K. not canceled anymore? I thought he got canceled.
He might. I think he did get canceled, but he was certainly back at the Garden, and it was a sold-out show. I mean, it was fucking mobbed. It was so packed in there.
It's intriguing to me that people...
What happened, yeah, Bob?
I think Gillis is the number one stand-up comedian right now.
I think he is too right now. I would say he probably is. I don't really know enough about it, but I would guess it's him. I don't know who else it would be.
It's interesting to me how some of these guys get canceled, then enough time passes, and then they just make their way back. It's very interesting to me.
I don't know how you cancel a comedian. You know what I mean? Like a comedian to me, like their job is just to sit like. They're not to be taken literal on anything that they say during a show. They're literally trying to make laughs. It's like all, I don't know. I don't know.
I agree.
Did you watch the Chappelle, the newest Chappelle on Netflix?
They're going after him. They're going after him for something. What are they going after him for?
Probably Israel stuff, my guess.
He was talking about Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, performing in Saudi Arabia and how, you know, it was like.
I got to be honest, though, it wasn't that funny the first start, because normally I heard find it stuff that to be great.
It wasn't as funny as his older ones. I thought some of his older ones were much funnier.
Can we talk about, I've now just seen the clips because I was traveling, but when they did it, or we were at the fights, something, when it actually happened, I don't know his name, but Joe, he's from the documentary that you sent me of Free Solo.
Did you see this guy climb the bed?
That was one of the most...
Taipei 101 or whatever? Yeah.
Bro, that is some of the most riveting... Like, that is... Say what you want, but you can't take your eyes off of that. Every clip that comes up, I can't help but watch.
I can't believe they televised it live, because what if he falls?
That's what I say. That's why I'm like, are they really like, how? Yeah, it's just hard for me to like process that. It's hard.
The documentary that he has on Netflix, I sent it to Bob and Bob loved it. It's the guy is insane. Like he's
nuts.
He lives for this shit, but like
it's nuts.
A documentary is one thing. Doing it live, I mean, God forbid he falls.
Took him an hour and he climbed that fucking building an hour and a half, bro. An hour and a half to climb to the top of that building. And he had to cancel it the day. He was supposed to do it, I think, a day before or something, but the weather, like wind. That's what I'm... One gust of wind, a guy that size, you're fucked. One strong gust of wind, you're fucked.
Even standing on the top.
That's what I'm saying. Now, how could you predict if the wind's going to fucking blow at that time? I'm sure there's a forecast, but one gust of wind, I feel like, would wipe this guy out.
Yeah, it was humming. What Joe's going to say, when he gets to that top, it's hitting him all. Like, his shirt is rattling.
I hate heights to begin with. I fucking hate heights to begin with. I could never, ever. I wouldn't scale my house. And my house is not tall. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't free scale my house.
We were in Vegas. We were taking the tram to go from Park MGM right to the arena, or from Aria. And there's like an escalator going up, like to the third level. And Bob's like, "Oh, I don't like the looks of this at all." I'm like Bob, it's an escalator.
I'm with Bob. I don't like fucking heights. Bro. I really don't. For a tall person too, it's weird. But I hate heights. I really do.
You ever do that rock climbing stuff, like where you do the rock, where you do the wall?
No. No interest. No interest in doing any
that's,
of that.
That's what he did, too, is not easy. Like, do you know how strong you got to be to hold those positions that he's holding?
His hands alone, his hand strength alone, his fingers. I mean, it's just, it gives me, thinking about it makes me, like, queasy.
You got to hit the clouds and watch that documentary Joe is talking about. Fascinating.
I watched this new the new Game of Thrones, Joe, the Night of the Seven Kingdoms. I watched the two episodes that HBO put out. This show, I'm not selling it, but I don't know if this is a comedy or what. It was terrible. It's fucking terrible.
Why do they got to keep going back to the well?
Going back to the well.
It's just stop. It was a great series. I don't know. I don't think it ended very
well. Maybe it's
going to
pick up. I'm confused if it's a comedy or not, because it feels like a spoof. It feels like a Mel Brooks spoof.
Yeah, that doesn't. You're not going to catch me watching that show, I'll tell you.
No.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You also got to have some time on your hands to watch something like that, because you can't just tune in and be half-assed. You got to be dialed in.
Yes, because there's so many fucking storylines going on at once. It's impossible to keep track of it.
Did you watch the Elizabeth Smart documentary?
I watched your interview. I didn't watch the documentary yet.
What'd you think of the interview? Be honest
with
me.
I thought the interview was very good. I thought it was well done. That's the feedback that I saw from some people, and then some people I saw, obviously, some people are just, I mean, it's...
But I was, the most of it was very positive.
I thought so, too.
You had some people coming, but most of it was positive.
I thought so, too.
You know?
Everybody's got something to
say. Did you watch the doc, Bob? Because I know it just came out.
Unbelievable, yeah. Yeah, unbelievable.
I watched the first 40 minutes of it.
Yeah, you know what I didn't think of, which somebody said, and I was like, okay, that's fair. First off, I made a really big donation to her charity after we got off. But somebody's like, the AdSense was on. So they're like, oh, Bob's making money off this interview, which is something, to be honest, I just didn't think of. We put the link below it, and I think a lot of people were donating, but like, Bob, you should have taken the AdSense off of this so that you're not profiting off of it. Fair. I did not think about that. What I could tell you is the donation that I made to it far, far exceeded what that was. But I guess if I could do that again, I wouldn't have had ads playing on that. But at the same time, you know, I get it. But you should watch the documentary. The documentary is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just crazy. It really
I'm gonna
is.
Watch it. I'm going
to
watch it.
It's insane to me that, like, I only watched 40 minutes of it, but you know, imagine being a dad and your son or daughter gets kidnapped in that sense. And then you go from like trying to find her, hunt her down, figure out, do whatever it takes. And then in the process, you then become the suspect and they're interrogating you. And people are saying in the interview that he had that he wasn't crying real tears, which is an indication that he's guilty. I mean, that had to be, I felt just watching it. I know this was years and years ago. I felt the worst for the dad. Like, it was horrific. It was unbelievably so depressing to watch. It's insane.
When you become a dad, the thing they don't tell you about, that's like a real thing, is whenever you watch a movie or television show that involves kids now getting fucked up, or like, it doesn't even have to be real. This happened. This is a real thing. I got to tell you, I get uncomfortable sometimes watching movies or make-believe shit where the kid gets like taken from the father. Oh, like any kind. Like, it makes me now super, super, super uncomfortable to watch it. It really does. Like, I have no desire in watching movies or stuff like that. It just fucks with me too much.
What I don't understand that she said is that she, the court case, like, how, I know a lot of times like defense, like legal teams will try and like postpone or back it up. How did this thing drag on for 8 to 9 years? Like,
it could get appealed. They could complain about
that's how long it went.
Oh, yeah, that's what I asked her.
It takes a long time to get to trial. It takes a very long, it could take years to get to trial for something like that. Years. And then they could delay it, and then they could postpone it. I'm sure. Was this during COVID also, Bob? When she finally went through the trial process itself? When did the trial actually take place? What year?
It would have been before, because she was kidnapped in 2002, and it went 8 years away before it. Like,
but when did 2011? When did they find the guy? 11.
Oh, they found, she was abducted in 2002. I think she was found in 2003. And then it went 8, 9 years, so like 2010, 2011.
They could go through so many, they could appeal shit, they could move it to different courts, they could find the jury.
That's insane, though, 8 years.
Well, also, too, what they show in the documentary, like Elizabeth talked, I asked her, is like, when he took you up that mountain, you would think with helicopters, what she saw flying above her, all of this stuff, you have the whole country looking for her search teams. How far did you guys go for people to not find you? But they show in the documentary what this campsite looked like. As much of a lunatic as this guy was, and she said he was smart. I mean, you have to be somewhat smart to be able to set this thing up to where nobody can find you. And then the way when they interrogated him, he was smart in the sense of they would ask him a question and then he would go into this gospel and they couldn't get anything out of him. You could tell he was kind of knew what he was doing with that. But for the wife to be walking free is so disgusting. It's crazy. I mean, you could go to an IHOP today and she could be sitting right there. Yeah, a girl who abducted a girl watched her be raped. Like, it's horrible. No, you know what I mean? It's just, oh, just horrible. But the documentary, yeah, really, really unbelievable. All right, moving along to the did you see the guy lastly who commented like on the interview? He was like, all right, Elizabeth, now we're going to move on to the top five.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
That was brutal.
That was crazy.
That was brutal. That was
brutal. Do you have a question for the Ads Bob segment?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that was good. That was good. Yeah. All right, let's head into the buy or sell. We're going to start off with the D on the buy or sell.
This might be an interesting buy, and some people might disagree with it, but I was using these all in Vegas. I'm buying back the taxi. I know that Uber has become like the new wave of transportation for people that are not driving. There's something about a taxi. It just I feel like this is a professional driver. I feel like the mode, at least when I went to when we were in Vegas, like if you would look up the Uber time to wait for an Uber ride, and then you just go stand in one of these taxi lines, it's microseconds to wait for a taxi. They just ring one up compared to waiting like 10 to 12 minutes for an Uber. And then the Uber goes through your app. This one, you go on the new taxis. You can pay cash or credit card right on the seat. It's a seamless transaction. I just think that like the Ubers wiped these guys out. A lot of these guys, their livelihoods were completely changed. Maybe they switched to Uber rides, but if you bought a taxi cab, you're kind of on the outside looking in. But I think let's bring back the taxi cab. But why not? Why not? You know, and in the process of doing so, maybe some of these Ubers, the Uber waits won't be so long. Bob, you know, last week when I went to go to that summit that we had a meeting, Mikey, with our company, I could not book an Uber. I tried for 25 minutes to get one, and it basically said there's no Ubers that you can get. So I had to take the car and drive there. Nicole was needing the vehicle for the day. It's just like, I don't know. I think the taxi cab is something that could be a nice little convenience and could make everybody else's lives a little bit easier. So bring it back.
Yeah. You know what drives my dad nuts, though, is when he's in the backseat and he's looking at the toll and the toll's going up. And like every time it goes up, he's like, oh, man.
Yeah. There is. It does feel like when you're in there and you watch that number go, it feels like there's no rhyme or reason to it whatsoever. It feels like it moves faster sometimes than it would normally. Like
I think it's still cheaper though than the Uber rides now. The fare is crazy.
You're trying to clock whether it's by mileage or by time spent, and it's like it's very, very. But there is something to be said to just hop in a car and say, "Yeah, take me to West 34th Street." You know what I mean? Rather than having to do the whole thing. I mean, we're attached to the phones for everything. It is nice to have something where you could just get in there and go.
Well, my dad doesn't even have Uber on his phone, so like. He'll be like, where do I get the Uber app? I'm like, Dad, you don't have a smartphone. You can't even, like, how are you going to get an app? You know what I mean? So, like, for older for
like people, that.
My dad, God love him. He's the best, but he makes getting an Uber, it's like figuring out the Da Vinci code.
And this man could literally solve the Da Vinci code. That's how smart this guy is. That's the sick part of the whole thing. Is that Joe's dad is a brilliant, brilliant person.
I told him for Christmas I was going to buy him a smartphone like an Apple. He's like, I don't want those. I don't want to be, you know, one of these guys who's looking at all the apps and stuff. I'm happy. My phone, I text and I call.
That's some old school shit. You have to respect that. You do. Yep. Yeah. But the thing with the taxis is, you just have to be in a city. Like I did it in New York where Vegas, there's an abundance of them. There's just nonstop. And it is nice to just go out, hit them with one of these. And it's a nice process for sure. All right. Yeah. Good stuff there, Petey. We'll head over to Mikey.
Yeah. I'm going to buy this week also. It's kind of like a buy sell almost, but I'm going to buy points in football games. I'm buying, taking points. I saw it last week with the Bears and Ben Johnson. And listen, I know Ben Johnson has been ultra aggressive. That's the way he's coached all year. Passed up on points early in a football game at home, ended up costing them. That was the slim margin. Yesterday, Sean Payton, and listen, I had New England, so I'm rooting for New England in the game. I took New England, but I'm watching Denver dominate this game. New England could not do a fucking thing. Drake May was rattled. The left tackle, Will Campbell from LSU, was getting abused. They were getting to Drake May on every play. Broncos defense was playing unconscious. And a backup quarterback was managing the game very well. He made a couple really good throws, Jared Stidham. They're up 7-0. Defense is dominating. You got a chance now to take a 2-possession lead. I understand it's a 4th-and-1, albeit a long one. Didn't like the play call, but that's fine, whatever. But to pass on the points when your defense is playing that well, the offense makes one mistake. Stidham makes one mistake on that backwards pass that ended up being a fumble. Patriots, that's the only real time they score. That's the only time they score a touchdown. It's just, and again, the end of the game, that's the difference. A blizzard rolls in, and now neither offense can fucking move the ball. These coaches, I understand being aggressive, but there's a time and place. Home teams, to me, early in football games, it's not like it's the fourth quarter and you got to make these decisions or late in the third quarter. Just take the fucking points. And I understand people are going to, all the take the points crowd, here comes the I'm sorry, but I saw it cost two coaches games that they probably should have won. The Bears should have beat the Rams if they take the points, and I think the Broncos should have beat the Patriots if they take the points.
Yep.
And Sean Payton's a Super Bowl coach, so a backup quarterback on top of it, and you're at home, and the way the defense is playing, it's just crazy to me, bro. Crazy to me. I'm buying Mikey, taking the points.
There was a time like 10, 15 years ago where it was like for team to go for it on fourth down was like, huge.
And look, I think we kind of hit a nice spot where coaches are definitely better than, like, they're making better decisions than always punting or always, you know, kicking the field goal. But again, I just think the timing in the situation, you have a backup quarterback. You're at home. The defense is fucking, the Patriots haven't proven that they could even get a first down, really. It boggled my mind. It really boggled my mind. And, you know, again, maybe another universe, he gets the first down and it's a moot point, but that's not what happened. And I saw it happen. It's a moot. And I saw it happen back to back weeks, and it cost these teams playoff wins at home.
I think it's situational too, though, Mikey. It depends. It is. Right? In that, I do agree with you in that situation because it was a very makeable field goal. Sometimes if you're on the cusp or on the edge of field goal,
it was a gimme. It was a chip shot.
Yeah, but if it's like the 55-plus yard different field goal, story. Then it's like, okay, different you know story. What? That's a different point where story. It's like you want to be aggressive. But I do agree with you there. That seemed like one that you should take. And I think some of these coaches, like the Chargers coach Staley, and then Dan Campbell's Mr. Go For It every time on fourth down. Yeah, they've kind of laid the paperwork for now these new wave of coaches. Now Payton's not a new coach, but like Ben Johnson. The last two playoff games against the Packers, and which they ended up winning, but and then against the Rams, I think they were like their percentage of making it too was horrific. At what point do you realize like we haven't been converting?
And you know what really pisses me off, guys? It's like you're going to go for it on that 4th-and-1. Okay, I don't agree with going for it. Why the fuck are you dropping Stidham back to? Why are you not just running the ball? With RJ Harvey was doing pretty well. Just run the ball straight at him. If you don't get it, okay, fine, you feel. But that play was a fucking disaster. The play was a disaster. It wasn't even like a play action bootleg like he rolled out. It was just a straight drop back pass, which was, it boggled my mind. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's so frustrating. If I was a Broncos fan, I would have fucking lost my shit. I would have lost my shit. Almost as much as Seattle.
But Patriots did it later in the game too. They went for it 4th-and-1. And they end up scoring a touchdown. So
yes,
can go either way. But I do agree with the bye.
But again, I feel like that position, you're on the road. It's a different spot to be in. It just felt like the Broncos, if they had taken that 2-possession lead, it felt like they would have put a chokehold on the game because the weather that rolled in too was nuts. That blizzard was fucking. The second half was fucking crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was like out here. It definitely made it look that much even worse. I just think with the take the points moment, that was a chip shot. So that is a true take the points situation. But there are times where you'll be watching the game with somebody and it's like, oh, just take the points here. It's a 45-yard field goal, which they miss all the time now.
Yeah.
That was a chip shot. So under those circumstances, I definitely agree. All right, we'll keep it rolling. I was going to buy Paramount and how good of a start they just got off to, but we talked a little bit about it. Since we were talking about football, I am selling one of the worst press conferences I have ever seen in my life. That Joe Pagulo, I don't know his exact name, of the Bills owner, when they
where he threw Keon Coleman under the bus?
That was one of the most despicable press conferences and just awkward and weird of like trying to point the blame elsewhere. throw so much of it on McDermott. And there was reports about Josh Allen being really upset about how that was handled. With sure how was. Much of a classy guy that Josh is, and, you know, doing things by the book, not throwing anything under the bus, for that to come, not from him, but to see their his owner treating it like that, I believe those reports of how pissed off he had to be. It was brutal what they said in that press conference, throwing Keon Coleman under the bus, saying whose choice it actually was to draft them, like, just disgusting. So a hard sell there.
By the way, another complimentary sell or buy that I think we you and I, Bob, would both do is Sam Darnold. I mean, for him to be in the Super Bowl after, like, what he's gone through in his career and, like, how he's just kind of, like, he just kind of kept going. He never complains. He never does anything. And his press conference, he never talks about himself. It's always about the team. Like, that's a guy you want to root for. I'm so happy for
him. He had a bet. I mean, what a game he had yesterday. He was fucking
360 yards passing
yesterday. I mean, he made some plays where he stepped up in the pocket. I was like, he's going to get fucking crushed. And ballsy throws over the middle in between coverages, fucking sneaking the ball in tight windows. I mean, he looked fucking, and all this with an oblique injury. I mean, he looked fucking great. By the way, the Rams, what the fuck? Like, not for nothing. Again, I had Seattle. No complaints against the Rams. What the fuck are you doing with Jackson Smith and Jigba? The guy is wide open. You think maybe we're going to double cover it, like bracket this guy up or something. I mean, this guy ran free the whole fucking day. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Great game.
Good. Think about how good the playoff games have been. The NFL unbelievable. Playoff games have been insane.
Couple duds, rest of them have been sick.
Yeah, sick and there's games. Always going to be a few. It was really, really good. But yeah, Darnold, shout out Sammy.
Unbelievable. Jets fans, Bobby. It just,
no
I
more
mean,
team
this
ghosts.
Guy, this guy, and by the way, maybe worse than the Jets, honestly, maybe worse than the Jets is the Vikings letting this guy walk.
Oh, my.
For J.J. McCarthy. Especially as a Bears fan good. And as a Packers fan, me and Joe would like to thank the Minnesota Vikings for letting this guy walk.
Him and Justin Jefferson were a problem, a legit problem.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, it was so funny. We were sitting at, we're at the UFC. Jet turns to me. He's like, I think that's Dante Moore. I was like, what? Turn up like 20 rows up just chilling. Like Dante nobody Moore. Yeah, nobody had any idea who he was. Like nobody asked him for a pic. And he's just chilling, watching. I have a really funny picture of him.
Chat was sightsee. He was people calling.
I don't even know. Yeah, I don't know if I would have picked Dante Moore out, to be honest.
But then Jet looks at us. He's like, there's Robert Kraft. Oh, yeah, there he is.
He's just chilling. Like, nobody knew. Yeah, I watched them walk up and nobody asked.
Well, there was a lie. I mean, you're in Vegas. There's stars.
Then Bob goes, there's Robert Kraft the night before the AFC Championship game sitting in the second row watching UFC.
I'll tell you what, though, man. You know, you have all the stars there and whatnot. You really see, like, when you're in that back room, there are some guys that just think they own the place. Like, that just, you see their egos of them walking around.
Yeah. Seen a few.
I wish, boy, can I rattle off a few.
I don't want to name.
There's one that I would. There's one that I would.
There's
list.
One that I. There's one who just, you know, you go into the back room and there's a long line when it's the main card for the drinks. Yeah. I watched him just cut through everybody, just right into the front of the line. And I'm like, yo, what a total douchebag.
Say the name.
Yeah, no, Joe always wants to air it out, bro. Joe, give him that. I'll give him that. He's always ready to air him out.
I want to air because this one is not even, it's not a celebrity.
I don't think it's going to do anything. It's an internet famous person.
You know what? And that's the fucking, that's the thing though, Bob, because we saw the same thing at the last one at Prudential. It's never the guys who are like, it's never Aaron Rodgers.
That's us. We're internet famous. So that's tough.
Correct. But you guys have been raised the correct way. You
I
guys
know we're
aren't
not
like
douchebags.
That. But what I'm saying is it's always like an internet personality or something that always gives off the worst douche.
We're the worst of the bunch. 100%. And by the way, I just want to clear something. We ain't famous, but we were built from the internet. And it is always someone from that collection.
Oh, Joe, let me tell you something. My father knows who you are. You're famous, bro.
I don't know about
my
that.
My father's been.
I want to say
a lot
the name,
of Joey
Bob.
D questions.
I want to say
no,
the name.
No, we're not doing. We're not going there. By the way, the name you're going
Mikey
say
would
is
know
not the
too.
Name. No,
you know the name. Wait, going. Just say the name and then let Bone cut it because I'm curious to hear who it is.
Hold on first, yeah. Joe. I think we have different names because my name I think is different than your name.
Oh, I
got
I don't know who you're talking about.
Just cut it. Go ahead, Joe. Cut. Have Bone cut it.
Oh, he fucking sucks. this guy.
Is he not the worst?
The fucking
worst. The worst.
This guy really? Stinks.
He's, by oh, the way, the guy. Got so many.
Whoa.
I'm gonna say it's always the internet people, man.
Dude, I wish it was like, you know, Theo Vaughn was a big star there. He's not the guy being a douchebag. You know, it's always
the guy. It's because they have been famous their whole lives. They're actors. They're famous. Not a lot of us who are in this internet. You live normal lives, and then something goes viral, and things change, and you don't act like you've been there before because it's all new. So these guys are suddenly the big dog on the scene. That's why it's the internet people who always end up being the biggest douchebags. And it's tough to say because I'm grouped in with that, and people might think I'm a douchebag, but I will say this. That I don't act like that when we're in public. We do our own thing.
Only in private.
Only on the podcast. Only on the podcast.
Boy, Mikey, he's setting himself up for some
isn't
tough
it?
Comedy.
Yeah, but he's
tough week.
What?
I have never seen Joe in public. And again, he was raised correctly. I know both of his parents. His parents are legitimate, good-hearted people. I've never seen Joe in public. Aside from the one time at the steakhouse with the shorts incident, I have never seen him ever get dicey or walk the line in terms of being a rude person ever. No. I have never seen him be flat out rude to people. Like I haven't seen that.
Maybe like, a rude, dealer, like, rude, maybe rude. A dealer from time to
I
time.
I saw some dealer.
That's a little different. Yeah, but you know what? You're gambling. Emotions get involved with gambling. Emotions get involved with gambling.
I come down. Okay, it was me and Jet. Were dying laughing. I was telling Jed about it. I come down because, like, watching Joe, every person should get to witness Joe at a craps table. It's the most fascinating thing.
All right, let's just not.
Okay, all right.
He hates this, but it is true. My highlight of our Vegas trip was playing craps with Joe. It was probably the highlight of my trip. It's unreal.
I come down, okay, and I go because I'm like, I just want to go see this for a little bit. So I go down to the lobby and he's there. And I see him pointing his finger at the dealer. I'm like, oh, my God. I come down. He's arguing with the dealer about $20. And he's like, no. I put that down. This is me. I wasn't there for more than 15 seconds. I wasn't. And he's, this is the No. I put that on the pass line. This is the $20.
Well, because so they mispay a lot of the time, and a lot of people don't know the payouts.
The dealer goes, sir, you have to pay attention. They're going at it. And the other dealer, you know, there's two of them, was
rolling
his eyes.
Should have got the pit boss
down
there, Joe.
So really? Then a guy at the table with them that didn't know that I was with Joe turned to me and he goes, this fucking guy needs a Xanax, and he's talking about Joe.
Well, no. You know what the dealer said? It's because Bob was talking to me. He said, this guy's the reason why you're not getting it right, because you're distracted. And he was blaming Bob. And that's when I lost my mind, because Bob didn't do anything wrong.
So he's at the crap table. I was like, Joe, you know what? Like, let's head over. Let's play some blackjack. So he's like, all right, let's go play some blackjack. We go, we sit down at the blackjack table. I've never been at a table with him where he didn't piss a dealer off. Because if they start running cold, he'll blame the dealer as if it's the dealer's fault. Yes. So we start going on just in the ice. Like, we are losing every hand, and Cutsy slams hand on the table. And he goes, you know, this girl has been terrible. And she looks at him and she goes, I've been terrible, or the cards have been terrible. And he's like, well, no, the cards have been terrible. I've seen him maybe 10 to 20 times correct a dealer at the craps table that was wrong and then did hand him over chips.
This guy knows craps. Like, he's a fucking craps savant.
Oh,
he's a fucking craps savant.
It's not gonna
get so fucking blown up.
Joe, it's not like, yeah, but Joe, it's not like you're like gambling away next month's mortgage payment. Like,
I mean, come on now. He doesn't like it, dude. It's like when we, with the thing with the sleeping for you. It hits him different.
Yeah. No, I get
that
it.
With Miss V, that
yeah,
really,
my mom doesn't like
that's
that.
What I'm saying. Yeah, my dad watches every episode. I sure should.
But the difference is, I think I've stopped doing that. I've really made a conscious effort to really stop doing that. Now you're making the face. That was a couple years ago, though, that had happened. So that I'm really making a conscious effort. I really am.
I think you're just such a big guy that the blood flow stops going up to, and then it's just like you just pass out.
People don't understand like how tired I am at the end of everything. I would imagine. I'm exhausted.
Man. It takes like, more energy for you to like exert yourself because as a bigger person to do that.
Dude, by the time 8, 9 o'clock rolls around on like a Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm done. I'm done. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go to bed. It's done. Like Bob's been like that for 10 years. Nobody breaks his balls and he's only 30. What the fuck? Like, what the fuck? Not for nothing.
Bob gets a pass on everything, man.
He gets a lot of passes.
He gets a ton of passes. Let me tell you.
A lot of passes,
Joe.
You're
breaking your balls. Because
guy's got more passes than Joe Burrow this year.
Mikey, we're breaking your balls because
I know at the table. I know
being so drunk to falling asleep at the table.
That's I know, but Bob, I've made a conscious effort to really, truly never do that. I really haven't. And those instances, nobody's going to want to hear. But those days that happened, like that was after a breezy day where I basically didn't eat the whole day. Very long day in the sun, the Arizona sun. It was a tough day.
Well, I will say those breezy days are long. Those are long days.
Long days.
Happy birthday to Mikey because he was asleep at the table.
We put a candle in the dessert.
Fuck me, man. All right.
Well, you know what though, Mikey? You're fine, man. I'm the one who's going to get lit up.
He woke up at dinner and had to go to the air.
Bob, remember he got the.
It was a red eye, Bob.
Bob, remember he got the chauffeur, and when we pulled up, it said in the lights, Michael Vellani on the car. Remember it said like it was like lit up. It was like
That's not like an expensive service to render. It's
I'm not saying it was expensive. I was just saying you went from like
a write-off.
Barely that's conscious to like walking into a car that had your name in like glow lights on the dash. It was very funny. Let's get back to Bobby passes, Mikey. Let's talk about it.
Go ahead.
It's some of the things that Bob did, you know, I think you or I did. Also, I'll give you a perfect scenario, okay? Let's go to Joe's Stone Crab for dinner, okay?
By the way, great place.
No, but
great
this place. May have to be a – all right, don't say
it's
who
not
it
a
was.
Cut. We go with a guy that we're meeting. Great guy. I'm not going to put a name. Great guy. He's late to the dinner, okay? He's late to the dinner, which happens. It's fine. Great. We're all waiting for him. The guy comes out. By the way, he's a really, really nice guy.
Yeah, you've said that 8 times. Go ahead.
Started trying to bang anybody here.
No, I know.
Sits
he's
down at
guy.
The table. The
he's
second the server is trying to take our drink order and like tell us the specials, and we're waiting. And as the server's waiting to give us the specials, he comes in, comes to sit down. His elbow hits the wine glass off the table. It shatters all over the place, and it's a whole thing. Bob's laughing, but I said to him at that moment, I said, Mikey. Then they had to come, Mikey, with like the broom because I guess it shattered so bad that they had to like sweep up all the little side pieces under the table.
So go ahead.
And I said, if that was me that
or
did
me.
That.
Or me.
Or you. If it was, but especially me, that would have been the first thing he talked about on the podcast. It would have been, he would have had tweets going. He would have had, it would be so much more like, emphasize than with this other guy, and it's because everything I do, I'm like the Truman Show. It's magnified, like the power of 10.
Well, yes, this guy got to the table. He was so he was texting me like, "So sorry, I'm late." I was like, "He was like 5 minutes late." I'm like, "No biggie at all." He's like getting over rush over the table, gets angles. So sorry, I'm late, guys. And then the class.
Yeah, if I did that, I would have heard. Mikey, come on, Mikey.
Control yourself.
Mikey, what are you doing? Mikey.
By the way,
is this guy 6'7"? Because a lot of times I can't even control my fucking bubble that I'm in, Bob. I got long limbs. Bubble.
So, but Joe, when that did happen, though, I said to you after the dinner, I said, I will say, Joe, I said, if that was you, we would have got a lot of mileage out of it. 100%. I don't disagree with what you said. I do.
Mikey said it perfectly the one time. I'm like his Frankenstein. And it's like, when I do these things, it's just like, it's now, it's like the world expects me to be out of control. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny, like, even, like, my dad knows you so well by now, but, like, even for my dad to see, like, my dad was watching us play blackjack, like, when Joe walked
What by, are we doing, man? We're going back to this well again, dude.
Oh, my dad turned to me, he's like, he is amazing. Like, he's just never seen that. Like,
I'm just very vocal. Like,
dude, I'm telling you, fathers find Joe fascinating. My dad has been texting me about Joe for the last, like, 3 weeks. He's just fascinated. Gotta get over the
hump.
Joe.
Once you're over the hump, it's like what you guys say about Game of Thrones. Get through that first season, and you're in for the greatest show.
You know,
of your
life. The first season of Game of Thrones just inconceivably bad.
Yeah. All right.
We get to ask Bob.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Before we do, though, I'm going to let you know that the Ask Bob segment of the Brilliantly Dumb Show is brought to you by our great friends, not our good friends, over at Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile, now that the holidays are over, you might be feeling like you got a big spending hangover, the drinks, the holiday food, the gifts, it all adds up. Luckily, Mint Mobile is here to help you cut back on overspending on wireless this January with 50% off unlimited premium wireless, okay? And Mint Mobile is no joke. The coverage on this company, the coverage that you receive, is just as good as the big boys. People may not think it, but I'm telling you, it's true. Cut out big wireless's bloated plans and unnecessary monthly charges with 50% off 3, 6, or 12 months of unlimited. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. That's Mint Mobile. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan. And bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Nothing needs to change. Okay? I use this product and you should too. That's the bottom line here. This January, quit overspending on wireless with 50% off unlimited premium wireless. Plans start at $15 a month. 15 at mintmobile.com/TBDS. That's mintmobile.com/TBDS. Now the fine print, ladies and gentlemen. It's a limited time offer. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for the 12-month plan. Required $15 a month equivalent. Taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Over 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com.
Mikey, well,
do not show it.
Do you know what I'm going to say, Joe?
This guy's out of his mind, man. We're going to have to talk about some cuts in this episode.
Why? What did you do now?
He's going to show a video. No, you're not showing the video.
Yeah, why? I have to see it.
Joe,
that's not
I'm begging
fair.
You. As you were reading that ad read, Jet puts up a story just now on Instagram, and the audio is you are watching a master at work. Watch this. Ready?
Because you are watching a master at work.
It's not that funny. Really not that funny.
You're watching a master at work.
I tell you what, though. He looks good throwing them dice, though, bro.
You guys can bang me now. Go into the Ask Bob and fuck me up.
Okay. Joe, you want to go first? I think I have a doozy
let
for
Joe,
this week.
Yeah, let Joe get it out because Joe wants
go ahead,
to
Joe.
Get good revenge. So this is all yours, Petey.
Yeah, Bobby passes here. All right.
Bobby passes.
This week on the Ask Bob segment, I have a question that revolves to our solar system. Bob, I would like you to name me the galaxy that Earth is located in. Bob.
That to me is a tough question.
Oh no, Bob, it's not tough.
It's probably the only galaxy you've ever heard of. I'm going to be honest. It's probably the only galaxy you've ever uttered the words of.
Have you heard of the algorithm in social media? That's a galaxy that Bob loves.
Yeah, that is.
A lot about that galaxy.
Damn, dog.
Mike, do you think this is a really tough question?
No, because, again, I think that it's such a – there's only one galaxy that's ever discussed with regularity. That's why I feel like –
And I think when he hears it, he's going to know that
oh,
it's
no,
going to
be furious. Yeah,
he's
going to
be furious.
I know.
You think he'll be furious?
I think he'll be furious. As soon as he hears the name, he's going to be fucking livid. For a couple reasons, of which I'll discuss when it happens.
Bro, even the last comment, people are like, oh, he's doing it on purpose. It's like, bro, I wish, like, keep commenting that. That's great, because, like, I wish. Like, it affects me. It's like, I'm so dumb, dude.
Do you have any guesses?
Say the question one more time, because I just know you guys are going to say it. I'm going to be like, oh, just say it one more time.
Name for us the galaxy that Earth is located within. So the name of the galaxy, of our galaxy.
I'm not even going to say what's on my mind.
Oh, you got it.
Why? It might be it, Bob.
It might be it. No, because I know it's wrong. I know
I
it's
bet
wrong.
You it might not be.
It might not be. It's not a scientific term, by the way, Bob.
I know it's wrong, but it's the only thing I have, and I know it's wrong.
You got to give it. Come on, dude.
Yeah, you got to say it.
There's a 99.9 chance it's wrong, but this is what's on my mind.
Go ahead.
The Milky Way.
Bang!
Is it the Milky Way?
Yes, it is.
Bro, thank God.
There you go.
There's a 99.9% chance that it's wrong.
What makes it worse, which probably I wish I just didn't answer it. The Milky Way.
I thought you were going to get it right away.
Very good, well, Bob.
What helped me was Mikey saying that's the only thing.
But that's why
you
should always give your guess, because if you didn't give it and then we said it, you would have been like, oh, I would have said that. No one would have believed you.
To be honest, it's not even like, yeah, but it's not even like I got it right, because I said there's a 99.9 chance that it's wrong. It's almost worse that I got it.
Mikey, what was going to be your like reasoning between why he would be livid?
Well, because like if he missed it, I felt like if we said Milky Way, he would have known right away. He would have been like, fuck, yeah. I knew that. And then on top of it, it's also the name of a candy bar, and the fat mafia mental thing, I think, that played into. He would have been like, fuck, I should have gotten that because of the fat mental mafia.
Terrible candy bar, by the way. Like, just with the other options
no
you
purpose,
have.
No purpose to that candy bar whatsoever.
No crunch. No crunch, just
I don't think I've even ever had
Milky Way is just a really bad version of a Snickers, like a real shit version of Snickers.
Yeah.
There's enough people who like it. Like, it's one of the bigger candy bars out there.
Apparently so.
Yeah, I mean, they've been doing it. Yeah, they've been doing it a lot. You know what's great is that does not the most slept on candy bar of all time is the 100-gram bar.
100-gram.
Do you ever try Three Musketeers? I kind of like that.
No, that's very Milky Way-ish.
Mikey,
I think the 100-gram bar.
I like Butterfinger. Big
Butterfinger.
Butterfinger's good.
Love a good Arguably.
Butterfinger. I need to bring you to Canada to try some of the candy bars that I gave Bob, like Coffee Crisp, Arrow. Do you guys have the Crunch Bar? Do you guys have
A bunch of Nestle Crunch Bar?
No, like not Nestle. No, there's a chocolate just called the Crunch. No. And it's like a toffee. Mikey, I think you would love it.
Oh, toffee's good. I like toffee.
I like that.
I'm gonna see maybe in the summer when I come back, I'm going to bring like stuff back for everybody. Like, we could do a Burnley Dem episode where we try just Canadian snacks and we could rate them. That would be fun.
Coffee bar you gave me, I love.
Coffee Crisp.
Yeah, coffee great.
Really it's an unbelievable bar.
Dude, I don't think, you know, people say like, oh, you got to go get pasta in Italy. It's so much different, which it is. I would argue that Chinese in Vancouver is almost as big of a leap as it is from going to Italy pasta. And people are going
to
say
such
that's
a win
crazy.
For me, man. It was such a win for me to see Mikey like sit at the table. And by the way, that video of you that you got of me ordering is hysterical. It might need to resurface.
That guy was just rattling off things. And Joe's like, yes. Yes.
And then for Mikey to sit there and he'd be like, bro, this is one of the best Chinese meals I've ever had. I needed that validation because I had gone on a limb.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. It's always good to see, Petey. You know, and I built that appreciation for your ordering, which I had, but I was rattled at Joe Stone Crab with the ordering. I forgot the fried chicken. It just, you know, doing the order for everybody at the table. It's a lot, especially
when you're not expecting it. And Jet now has Jet's taken the baton from Bob, and he's literally like, when we go out for dinner, he'll be like, oh, no, Joe's going to order for the whole table. And it's like, the problem is sometimes you don't know if somebody is willing to have you order.
Right.
As in Showtime, when that one time he's like, no, I want to order my own item.
So Mikey, every time we've been on, like, sorry to cut you off, Joe, we've been like, anytime we go on a company dinner, and it's so obvious compared to when we just go out to dinner, when Ticket knows that it's on somebody's dime, he orders like the bone in fillet. Like, he has to get it, but like, he'll order like a tomahawk. Like, he's sitting there with these gigantic steaks, like, and then him and Joe last time when Nike took us out. They did the sign. Like, come on, bro. That's crazy.
Look at the size of that.
If you're getting your meat served to you on a private cutting board, a personal cutting board, you know.
Look at that thing. Look at him go at it.
Oh, my God.
He's been on fire, Tick.
Yeah, he has. He is a funny boy.
By the way, I want to ask you. Sorry, go ahead, Bob.
No, when we went out to dinner with Nike, him and Joe, and granted, I don't think they realized how big these lobster tails are going to be. With their steak, they accompanied it with the lobster tail, and it was like a 12-ouncer. Like, this thing was huge. And we're
it was
Nike.
Like an entree.
You know, I got a text from yesterday, Joe, was because they opened Golden Steer in New York City.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a really
very
nice
interesting.
Piece.
Wow. Very interesting. Yeah,
one of our better dinners that we've ever had.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of New York, like, I got to ask you, how bad is this snow situation? Is
I have two.
Like,
I have 2 feet of snow outside. I have to go clean off the cars when I get back.
Can you almost do a video? Like, can you put a story?
Feet of snow. It's fucking ridiculous.
Okay, let's.
And
get
I saw the temperatures are freaking insane.
Oh, single digits this week, and we're supposed to get another snowstorm next weekend, Saturday.
Like, let's head into. Yeah, for some reason, my dad thought that was going to affect him. He was going from Las Vegas to Florida. He was so worried about the flight. Mikey, his flight was at 7 a.m. the day after the fights.
Yeah.
He left at 3:45. He left. The airport's 10 minutes away.
Be prepared, not scared. This man is ready to go. He's ready to go.
And then, Joe, did you see when we're going over? And, like, by the way, financially, he's not a cheap guy. He's in a great spot. But ever since he retired, he's more price conscious. We're walking over to the weigh-ins. There's, like, a little concession thing. He goes to the guy, goes, let me ask you something. How much is the water? Like an Aquafina? The guy goes, $4.95. He goes, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then he answers, it's like, Dad, he's not making the price of the water. Like, it's
the
not
funny thing is he pointed to the water that was on a cart outside of the actual fridges. Like, if he had just gone up to the fridge, he would have seen the price on the actual. So he's like pointing at a cart. Like, he could have just walked out. How much is the water? Your dad's fascinating. He is hysterical. Being with him this weekend was so much fun, dude. He cracked.
We had a great time. Really did.
He's fun, man.
We got Mikey. We got to the fights. The fight was supposed to doors open at 2:00. We got there at 1:00.
Mike Berger wants to be at those prelims, bro.
Yeah.
He does not
we left at 1:00, Mikey, to get there, and then we got to the roll call for the tickets. It was so early they didn't even have the tickets on site yet, so we had to wait for half an hour for them to bring the tickets down. And
was he freaking out when they didn't have the tickets, Bob?
He was standing next to Bob. You got a picture of him. He's standing next to the window waiting so he can be the first.
Well, I remember we were meeting up for the last UFC in Jersey that we went to last summer, and Teddy was late. Remember, Bob? Teddy was late.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yo, Mr. B was having a fight. He's like, it's like, where is this guy?
That stresses me out. You're right.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, Bob was starting to
How late was he, though? Was he like?
He was considerably late.
Like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. Like, but we were going to get there when the doors open. It's not like with the main card.
Right.
That is why I respect Theo Vaughn, though. Theo Vaughn, if you'll see, Joe, he's the only guy sitting. He loves it so much that he's there for the prelims. But it's crazy.
In his defense, the first three fights of the night might have been some of the
sometimes the prelims are better than the main card. That's number one. And number two, when you're set up like Theo Vaughn and sometimes the way we get set up with the access and stuff, like, you want to make that a full day experience because it's fucking incredible. Like, wait? You know, it's just an awesome day.
It's an awesome day. It's a long day. I mean, you're gassed.
It's a long day. Long day.
But Joe's right. It's like, even though we were at the prelims, like, bro, we were in the arena where before Buffer, Cormier was there. Like, we sat there for like maybe an hour, Joe, before we had a fight, maybe a little more.
Well, in his defense, they postponed one of the fight for a little longer because of the cancellation. So they did push it back to 3. But Jed said something that was so funny. He said, when you go to those early fights, when there's no one in the arena, it almost sounds like it in a hollow gymnasium. Like, you hear the mat and just like it echoes off.
Oh, yeah. I'll say it again. I've been to a lot of live events. There's very few live events that could stack up to the energy in a UFC building, bro. Very few.
And then between the fights, just the people watching that you get is really cool, too. All right, Mikey, your ass Bob question.
Yes, Bob, this week a little history question, American history. Bob, I would like you to tell me what sides fought in the American Civil War? What sides fought? Who fought in the American Civil War?
The North and the South.
Okay. All right. Yeah, all right. Good. Yeah. All right. All right. Very good.
Yeah. Oh, right. Bob, two for
that
two.
That was, yeah, two for two. Good for you, Bob.
Who
good
is the you. Most famous Northern advocate that became a president?
Abe Lincoln.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that war was such a fast, like that World War II, where you lose me is the French War. Or
American Indian
the
War.
The American Revolution.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Then I'm gone. But that war, that was such a that in World War II changed the direction. What,
do you know World War I? Or is that too old? I mean, the Civil War is older than World War I.
So yes. Probably. It's not even a matter of being old. Just not much interest.
What about the Revolutionary War?
See, now you lose me.
Really? So if I asked you who fought in the Revolution, who did we fight in the Revolutionary War, you wouldn't have got that? I passed on that to go to the Civil War.
We asked that in the van, and he didn't know we fought the French. He had no idea.
Well, the British.
The British. The French. I meant the American and the French.
Okay,
well, fuck. All right, World War II, two for two.
And then that. Yep. That's
two for
big.
Two. Good for Bob. Good for Bob.
Now, for Tracker, that counts for the first for Joe's one, right? That's a correct answer, even though it's a little.
Yeah, bit it was. Shady. Yeah, you got to get that
Milky
right.
Way?
Yeah, I mean, the way I approached it.
You got it right. Yeah.
Okay.
You got it right.
There's certain things that's like, it's very interesting to me because certain things Bob's like spot on. But then if like you ask him something like the World War One, like if you ask who Franz Ferdinand is, who caused the World War, like his assassination, you would not know that, no?
See, I would have told you Franz Ferdinand is either a soccer player or there's a song.
It's also a band. It's a band.
Yeah, that's
named
what I
after that
said.
Guy.
Correct.
Okay.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, let's head on over to the top five. This week's top five is going to be pick your Super Bowl performer. So a solo artist, current. So they got to be alive. It's got to be solo. Joey D back to back on the top five.
Yeah.
Joey D took it last week. I think this was one of our closest top five. I think I was third. I think I was last.
I don't
is that
know.
Confirmed?
Yeah.
I know it was super close. I don't know. Let me go to the group chat.
I'm almost positive I was last.
Joe.
I know Joe's first.
30. You were C, right, Joe? 35%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Who had B was 32%. Bob. Yeah. So, yeah. Joe won, me too. Bob three.
Okay. So, yeah. Solo artist. D-Man, where do you want to go?
It's so solo artist to perform at the Super Bowl. Living.
Correct.
Yes. I don't know. I'll go three. This is tough. I struggled with this. I don't know how I'm going to do here.
Michael? Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'll go one.
Is that so? Okay, take it away. Yeah, I guess
I don't know.
Two.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not a bet. Go ahead.
Man, I don't even fucking know, dude. I guess I'm going to go with Taylor Swift. Number one overall, dude.
Really?
Taylor Swift, yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, a solo is tough, man. Like, solo
bands
artists,
would have been so easy. Solo artists are not
solo
easy.
Artists is tough because I don't even know many current solo artists. I don't even know. Taylor Swift, I know, is the biggest thing since sliced bread, so I'm going to take okay. Taylor Swift.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I'm going to go Drake.
Okay.
I know him. The Drake.
All right. I'm going to go Morgan Wallen. Morgan I'm going to go with Morgan Wallen.
He's country guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. He's awesome. I actually legitimately love his music. And then I'll go Justin Bieber.
You love the Biebs, dude.
He's so good, dude. And he's
Canadian.
He's Canadian too.
Right, I mean. Right.
Okay, I will go with give me Eminem.
Okay. Oh, very, very rap heavy here for D-Man.
I'll take The Weeknd.
It's a good one, Mikey.
And I'll wrap around with this one's going to put you guys, but I do know some of this guy's song, Post Malone.
Oh, that's a good one. I had him on my list.
I had him on my list. And that would have been a really, really good one. I'm going to go with a guy who I think would just light it up. Give me Zach Bryan.
Okay. I am going to go with Lady Gaga. And then Post Malone was my pick, Mikey. That was
really
great. I was going to try to get him on the way back. Give me Harry Styles.
Yeah, see, I don't even know who that is. That's a problem.
You know,
that's
Harry
a problem. That's a
Harry Styles is like
that's a me problem.
Massive.
All right, give me give me Billy Joel. That's my guy.
I'll take Bruno Mars, and then I'll finish with Luke Combs.
All right, give me Britney Spears.
Dude, she's off her
rock. I would want to see what that has to offer for sure.
All right, this is the last pick, I guess, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go another female. Give me Rihanna. I don't think I won this week.
She was great when she did the
Super Bowl. She's really good. Yeah,
I liked your top two.
The Post Malone was my ace in the hole. That kind of threw me off. So,
all right, I had a first pick. That's it.
Oh, I thought I had one more. No.
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 Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. I had first pick: Taylor Swift, The Weeknd, Post Malone, Bruno Mars, Luke Combs. Bob was in the two hole: Drake, Eminem, Zach Bryan, Billy Joel, Britney Spears. Joseph, Morgan Wallen, Justin Bieber, Lady Gaga, Harry Styles, and Rihanna.
I think Bear Down's going to win.
I do, too. I like Mikey's list the most. Give me your list again, Mikey.
Taylor Swift, The Weeknd, Post Malone, Bruno Mars, and Luke Combs.
It's pretty damn good.
Luke Combs at 5, I think, is really good. Yeah, I think your favorite. Oh. Could go anyway. All right, guys, really, really good stuff. That was fun.
That was a long hour and a half pod.
Yeah.
Well, after the cuts, maybe 40 minutes after the cuts. But
yeah, we're going to have to take a real close look into that one. That has been another edition of the Brilliantly Dumb Show. We love you. We appreciate you.